from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Just received some absolutely crushing news in the commercial break, which we will get to at 8:20 this morning.
Yeah.
You're aware?
I'm aware.
You're aware.
I'm aware.
We'll talk about it at 8:20 here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We are your home of the Texas Rangers and the Dallas Cowboys. What?
Did they give Peyton a contract extension?
Part of it.
They took it away, actually.
Sounds like they're getting more work to do.
That's right. So we'll get into that coming up in about 20 minutes, but you have been storing up cowboy nuts.
It's amazing. It's amazing the transition in my life where I just want to talk about the NFL now. There was a time when I was like, you know, this. I liked it, but it's like I wanted to talk baseball, college, whatever. Now it's just like,
you know, why do you think that is?
I don't know. Everybody says as you get older, people get more into baseball. I'm getting more into the NFL as I get older.
Wow.
So, excellent. Scotch. It's a
scotch.
Yeah, you're just maturing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting more into baseball too. So that's part of it. But yeah, I'm definitely getting more into the NFL. Is there any way for the Cowboys to walk into camp in Oxnard and us to think that they had a successful offseason? We're way past them having any impact free agents, right? Who even is available out there they could get that we would be like, oh yeah. Maybe some depth guys, but is there any way for them to walk into camp and
Where's Jamal Adams?
Yeah. For us to, get off the airplane on July whatever in sunny Southern California and think, man, I'm excited. I feel good. This is a successful offseason.
Well, the follow-up that you had to it last night makes it more of an interesting question of the extensions getting done.
And there was an article on ESPN, like final moves for every team and, you know, a way that they could nail the rest of their offseason. And for the Cowboys, it said extend 2 of their 3, Dak, CeeDee, and Micah. And the write-up, and this is from Aaron Schatz at ESPN, who was with Football Outsiders for years. And he says, I'm not sure what they're waiting for. The longer they wait, like you've said for a million years, Sean, the important players, the more expensive those contracts become, get paid and raise the bar of those positions. This isn't the place to have a long debate about Dak struggles the postseason or whether he's truly worthy of top money. But nobody out there is going to argue against the idea of Lamb and Parsons being at or near the top of the market. What are they waiting for? You're not going to let them leave, so get on it. So if we walk into camp, and any combo of those 3 are signed, do we feel like this was a successful offseason?
Ooh, successful versus excited. I definitely won't be more excited stepping off the plane at LAX. I won't be more excited. Well, I think it would have been more successful. I'll still probably lean towards no, because I won't think that they're any closer to a championship team than the team they got humiliated by the Packers.
No. I don't think we'll feel that way at all. Part of why people felt you needed to get things done early in the offseason was because they wanted the flexibility of getting this done and massaging cap numbers and doing different things that then you could go improve your team with free agent additions that now they can't make. So, I don't think it's possible. I also think it matters who is it. Like, if you tell me, if we get off the plane and CeeDee Lamb's contract extension is done, okay, that's good. If Micah's contract extension is done, is that a necessity to get it done this early? Like, is that one that, like, if you end up prioritizing Micah getting done before Dak and CD, who are rapping on the door, is that
it's also
an efficient use of resources?
Interesting, not funny, Bobby, how the Micah contract has now kind of slithered its way into the Dak and Lamb conversation. At the beginning of the offseason, it was just, all right, Dak and Lamb. And now Micah has entered the fray, especially after his comments at practice when he's like, people are paid to be here, not me.
Yeah, and people are saying on TV all over the place, Micah should not step foot on the field. He should not even go to camp until he gets his money.
Well, he's not there anyway.
He's not there anyway. but, you know, I was looking at this, you know, from each team, the difference for each team. And, like, it's disappointing when you go around the rest of the league and you see, like, what their one thing they can do.
What's your one thing?
What's your one thing? Very nice.
Odyssey joke.
Odyssey.
It's nothing compared to what we have. Like, it's that. For the Giants, sign Lawrence Guy. Okay. For the Eagles, sign Eddie Jackson. For Washington, sign Sam Cosmi, a guard. For the Bears, sign Ryan Tannehill. For the Lions, sign Michael Thomas. Sign Stephon Gilmore if you're Green Bay. Sign Jaron Kearse if you're Jacksonville. Like these are small moves.
Is Jaron still out there unsigned?
He is. I think there was I think some people in league circles were not thrilled with how Jaron played last year when they look at things. I think they felt like there was some effort lacking.
But like it just seems like the Cowboys have like a much bigger cloud over their head right now with this. I mean, everybody else is like, sign this role player. And for the Cowboys, it's like, hey, let's go ahead and extend top five players their position or whatever.
Well, I mean, look, I know it's easy for us to be, like, we're here in Dallas, so it's maybe difficult to sometimes see what the national focus is. But Trevor Lawrence extension was obviously one that had been talked about a lot. So, quick off the top of your head, who are the big contracts that need to get done in the NFL?
Lamb, Parsons, Dak.
Tua.
T. Higgins.
Tua, T.
Yep.
Ayuk, but I mean, that's the thing. You're talking about
Debo.
Individual players in some of these little spots, whereas with Dallas, it's three, and it's arguably three. You can make a case that those three are the biggest ones that need to get done.
That's very true. There's no way. We're all saying there's no way to be that it's a successful offseason or excited.
No.
It can be successful. Can be somewhat successful if you got those done, but I'm not going to be excited because they all were on the team last year.
But it could have been better, and you still ultimately cost yourself money in the process, so I don't know that we... It's more just like, okay, great, you stopped digging. You stopped digging when the hole was there.
True.
One of the other ones that was asked is from Bill Barnwell. If the Cowboys do move on from Dak, can they even make the playoffs ever again? Like, are they
ever
just
again?
Not even ever again? But like, is that something that would prevent if they sign all three? So 35 for Micah. Let's say they sign all three: 35 for Micah, 35 for Lamb, and 60 for Dak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would put them at the top of the food chain of each position. They would have three guys that make up 46% of their salary cap.
Tyler Smith is eligible for a new contract next year, too.
So he's asking if they all got that money.
If they all got that money, does that immediately prevent them from making the playoffs? So there's no way to build depth there. When you look at the other teams that have had a similar number of three guys making up 46% of the cap, I'm going to show you two teams from 2022.
Two teams.
And go look up go to the 2022 standings, Bobby. Real quick, go to 2022 standings.
Uh-huh, I got you.
In 2022, the Raiders
I'm laughing at it so much.
Had Davante Adams, Derek Carr, and Max Crosby make up about 46% of their cap.
Mm-hmm.
How'd the Raiders do in 2022?
They were 6-11.
In 2022, the LA Rams had Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and Aaron Donald make up about 46% of their cap. How'd they do in 2022?
They were 5-12. All those guys got hurt, though.
They all got hurt. But that's the problem when you have half your cap with three guys, you have no depth.
Sure.
Right, and that's the issue. The Rams and Raiders entered the draft that year with the 6th and 7th pick the following season after they had that much money tied up in the cap. The Cowboys, by history, if they give all those guys three top-of-the-market money, have a reduced chance of making the postseason. For years, we've had this stat, if your top 10 players make up half your cap,
yeah,
you have like an average 5-11 season. And, you know, as the salary cap has moved and grown, I mean, that number's kind of gone away. But this would not be your top 10 players. This would be your top three.
Yeah, I mean, look,
And let me fire back at you here and ask you, Mr. Team Builder, would that prevent you from giving any of the three that money?
No.
Look, I mean, we read the article from Gelkin earlier this week where Michael had said Dak might have to take less in order for all three to stay.
No,
that might be the only way to keep all three, because if you max out all three of them, you're probably gonna have to pick two of them.
Yeah, you might have to. And like, look, obviously the Cowboys. What would the Chiefs do? Would the Chiefs trade CeeDee Lamb for two firsts?
Well, they tried to re-sign Tyreek. Let's not forget that. Let's not give them all this credit. Right. Like, oh my gosh, they let Tyreek walk.
And Mahomes took a friendly deal.
Yes. Like they barely got outbid by the Raiders. I'm sorry,
Miami.
The Dolphins.
Yeah.
They barely got outbid. I was thinking of Devontae. Well, they tried to bring back Tyreek, and I don't think they insulted him with the offer.
Right.
I don't think.
Chris Jones, we think, took like a dumb deal.
Right.
So they got Chris Jones. Kelsey's been giving them a break.
Yeah. Like if they were in a similar situation, the Chiefs had Lamb and Parsons on their team.
Yeah.
With Mahomes, are they trying to re-sign them both, or are they going to trade one of them for two first-round picks?
Good question.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing here is you got to remember the accounting tricks that exist within the NFL and within the salary cap. So when we say 60, 35, 35, and we put those numbers on it, for instance, Trayvon Diggs, his average salary is $19.4 million. Okay. His cap hit last year as a almost $20 million player was $14 million. His cap hit this year is $14 million. Like, especially when you add void years on the back end, you could have a player who their average salary could be $30 million, let's say. And with the void years on the back and the accounting tricks, you could have that player never count $30 million against your cap during the entire duration of the contract.
Yeah, who's easier to find? Who's easier to replicate, Micah or CD? If you were to trade one for two first-round picks, who's easier to replicate?
Lamb.
CD's easier to replicate as a player.
Yeah, so I think the Chiefs.
I'm still re-signing them all. By the way,
I still probably would too. But if it's easier to replicate the receiver,
you're not going to get me to say the Cowboys are farther away from the playoffs because they paid all three of them. The simplified thought is, hey, if you have a really good offense with a really good quarterback, you should be making the playoffs anyway.
You should make them anyway. You'll find your way into a halfway decent defense.
CD is easier to replicate as the player, but I think that's why you have to put nuance into it and say, okay, but the impact that he makes with the team specifically and the type of locker room personality he is and what you would have to work on if you lost that versus what you would have to replace if you lost Micah. Can I get Micah's impact? Not necessarily. I might be able to get 14 sacks, though. Like, I can get that number.
You can recreate it.
I can recreate that number.
Yeah, you can. Like would the Cowboys have done... Let's say the Cowboys, the Buffalo Bills were the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys were in the same position as the Bills where they had... You know, made it to an AFC championship game and always run into that one team. Would the Cowboys have moved on from Diggs?
No. Not with their line of thinking, I don't think. Not the way that they approach players.
Right. And
no.
I agree. And I don't necessarily disagree with it. It's just, you know, it's just interesting how that works around the league.
RJ Choppy unloading his Dallas Cowboys content. He's ready. He's full
ready,
steam.
Man.
National Football League. We'll have Below the Belt coming up at 8:40. But the news that was just delivered to us that is crushing for the morning show and the station, we will bring it to you. And Michael Jordan, fraudulent, this is starting to pick up steam all over the internet. Are you glaring at RJ Choppy for this?
I don't think I'm going to enjoy his take when we talk about this.
Michael Jordan being called out as a fraud and the devastating morning show news after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, let me give some Tolo shout-outs. First off, everyone who hit me up while out over the past few days, you're appreciated. We got Stan Fleming.
Stan.
Doing the Tolo listening on the Odyssey app. I'm on day 10 of a 23-day motorcycle trip currently in Palmer, Alaska. Couldn't listen on Odyssey in Canada, but I was able to listen on YouTube. 4,600 miles so far to the great Stan, who is always on that motorcycle. So travel safe, brother.
Somebody, by the way, mentioned, and yes, safe travel, Stan. Somebody mentioned when we posted the Choppy singing the dance earlier this week, they were like, why does this sound like one of the Randy Marsh songs from South Park, like with the echo and the la, 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 like that same sort of voice.
And then Tolo Matt with a nice message to me. Stop taking off, disrupting things. They had Texas William had me with a sumo wrestler like Micah traveling and doing some other things, getting punched in the stomach by a boxer. I wish. I'd rather be wrestling sumos than sitting in a hospital. Although yeah. It's a very, very nice hospital. I wish Scottish Rites Interior Designers did my house. It was that impressive of a place. All right. I was walking out of the bathroom, and Bobby said, you need to go into the studio because Ryan has something to tell you. I thought it was going to be some Twitch insults, which I forgot to do this weekly segment. When Ryan came over to my house party that Peyton's girlfriend was too good for, he was just hitting me with all these new surprises and comments, and I wanted to do a weekly like Twitch YouTube recap of the comments, and I was like, what do people say on there, what how's it different from the text and Twitter? And he was hitting me with some haymakers, and I was like, dang, that stuff needs to make it to the air. And I wanted to come up with like a name for it and do like Ryan's weekly Twolo recap. Slipped my mind, and now it's too late because Ryan said that next Friday is his final show, as he is
so
taking a job in Odessa.
Man.
He's been wanting to do TV production, too big for radio, move on from there. And Bobby knew that this would crush me and really, really disappoint me. And
yeah,
it does.
He's very good at what he does. Like, we always like to troll with everybody here. The absolute like truth of it is, like, Ryan's very, very good at what he does. And Ryan has made the Fan Cam in the Morning so good in terms of like that stuff. Like when you guys see the videos synced up with the audio clips and stuff like that, that is just stuff Ryan wants to do as like he thinks it adds to it. That's not anything he
and
was
he doesn't
asked
get
to do.
Our audio like prep sheet. That's what always shocked me.
I know.
He doesn't know the stuff ahead of time. I don't think, unless PayPay, you give it to him in the morning.
There's some like presser cuts I will send him, but like some random TikTok video, he just does because you guys talk about
it. He pulls it up. Or like, I mean, I remember we were interviewing, I think it was Lombardi, and you had asked a question about the 49ers, and you had been talking for like 4 seconds, and all of a sudden he split screen put 49ers images up from like Getty and was circulating them, and you cut off your mic when you got done with the question. You're like, We didn't tell him we were going to talk about the 49ers, and he had it ready like that. Ryan's very quick. Ryan's very, very good at what he does. So we knew this was coming. We knew eventually he was going to go do something else. The Twitch is very upset already, by the way. They're really? All,
as we should be.
Yeah, they're very sad there on the Twitch that Ryan is leaving.
Yeah.
Maybe because I guess they don't want to fight with Carter again. But
Now there's three options here of replacements. It's Carter, which is not going to be good for anybody. It's Peyton.
Well, you're going to get a fun glare walking in the building.
It's Peyton doing two jobs at once.
Hell no.
Which is not going to be good for anybody, especially after Thursdays at 6:40.
Yep.
Right?
When he checks out.
Right. Or it's somebody new who we will be comparing to Ryan the entire time. And that's not going to be fair to them. So I think he's just going to have to do the job from Modessa.
That's what I told him. I said, you can run the fan cam remote like you do in the morning sometimes. You can just run it from... How busy is Odessa? Like, I mean... Yeah. I was just out there.
Do you know anyone? If I said Ryan should handpick the replacement, do you have anyone in mind? Do you know someone that would meet the requirements and we'd be satisfied with? Right now he's shaking his head. No, that's not good.
That's not good at all.
That's not good. This is very worrisome because here's the truth of the matter. I'll really take you behind the curtain. Up until recently, I felt like we were behind as a station in terms of like some technology things for ratings behind the scenes. Once the reason I keep saying the YouTube and the Twitch Tolos are so important, you all matched us and put us over the top with like record ratings that we've never had in 14 years of doing this show. And it's because we've been able to add the video component. So now you're talking about Ryan not being here. And that is a sickening worry for me that the quality is not going to be as high without him, and therefore we lose what we have just recently added in terms of those viewership numbers. So that's not good.
That
sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible. He's a star, man. And now he's going to be...
In radio he is. Hopefully in TV he's a total complete... Well, failure. He's kind of doing TV, I guess.
Hope he's a failure.
Yeah.
I hope he's a failure and comes crawling back here, begging for more work.
Yes. What's a sports analogy of someone who's like trying to branch out, like maybe go run their own team, try to be the guy I don't know. Hopefully it's that. It's a failure.
Yeah.
And he has to come back here tail tucked.
Yeah. I don't know. Zeke going to the Patriots, still thinking he was the number one.
Now we know he was.
He's better than Zeke ever was. So that's, like that. That's the difference there. Yeah. I don't know. There's not a great analogy to this. I will say
we need a Q&A. We need like a true false Q&A for Ryan next week on Friday. Well, you're going to be gone. Thursday. All right. We may have to do it on Wednesday before a few days in order to like do a Sean and RJ pop quiz reminisce segment about the worst moments, the best moments, what we're really like to deal with, what he would tell as advice for the next person sitting in there, the do's and the don'ts.
I already told him when he mentioned it. I was like, all right, well, we got to figure out sometime before you leave then. I got to go give you all the Moscow mules that you love drinking. So we're going to have to go out and get him all hammered before he goes off to Odessa.
I got to send the Venmos possibly to these two.
Again,
once
Ryan.
We get the bonus ratings news.
Again, Ryan, you got to remember, I went out to the Midland Odessa area for Keller softball. Remember, the cartel came in there, started robbing vans and stuff like that, taking softball equipment. I don't know that you want to put yourself in the middle of that.
So this is a permanent move. It's 5 hours away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a move.
And by the way, let me say something else too. Landry Locker is the best example of this. Someone that was local. And this is a broadcasting nerd out moment. Far too few are willing to like move out of here. They're like, no, I was born here, so I need to be on the radio here. I'm entitled. Don't ask me to do. But then they don't want to do like the scrub work on the weekends or overnights. And we have a lot of people like this in the building that this does not apply to. But I'm just talking about through the city. They're like, no, I was born in Dallas and I'm going to be on the radio in Dallas. People don't move away and like pay their dues and like go up to the lower markets and move up. Landry Locker did that. He moved to freaking Cleveland. He ended up in Houston. He was not afraid to just go ahead and move away and build up through that process. There's people who are there like, no, I was born here. I need to be on the radio.
Got to be on the radio.
Yeah.
Got to be on the radio. It's the amount of people saying that he is going to get linked up with the cartel.
The Odessa cartel?
Yeah, the cartel in Odessa. Uh-oh. It's happening. He'll be driving a F-250.
Now, why are
you doing a little diesel?
Now, why are people reacting as if they know Ryan, if he's just like an admin type behind the scenes?
Because the Twitch and the YouTube, he does interact with them on there whenever they have questions or they'll send him. And so they all feel like they know him. And so, especially the Twitch. The Twitch feels very protective over Ryan. They're big Ryan fans on the Twitch. And it's not always easy to win the Twitch over. The Twolos.
Yeah, I know. As Ryan told me, what they say about me.
The dark web Twolos. They can be a little tough to win over sometimes. I love them, but they are sticklers, and Ryan won them over. And so that's not an easy job.
Final day, next Friday, with old Ryan. Sean, RJ, and Bobby continuing on 105.3 The Fan. What is this Michael Jordan campaign, RJ?
So this was this is from Nick Wright. Is it Bobby, you sent this to us?
No, this was initially from Yahoo. So Yahoo had a report yesterday, and
Nick has to just do his LeBron slobber thing, and Michael's not number one bit.
Yeah, so, and it was,
I'm sure he commented.
Yeah, it was. Oh, he commented the damn Shaka Smart Chia Pet looking self that he is. So this was an article yesterday from Yahoo. The writer there, it was an investigative report. They've got this big splash screen, and it says a closer look at Michael Jordan's 1988 Defensive Player of the Year Award raises questions about its validity. Has LeBron James been chasing a ghost? This is by Tom Haberstraw.
Haberstraw,
whatever. And so it's, you remember the Jaren Jackson thing we talked about last year, where people said numbers were being cooked, and when he was at home, he was getting the benefit of some different scorekeeping things going on. So this was an investigation that said Michael Jordan got some serious home cooking in the 87-88 season with his numbers. And this is something where, you know, you've had different guys. There was somebody with the Grizzlies years ago who, after he got out of it, claimed, yeah, we used to cook it. That's an open secret in the NBA, is that people will kind of cook the books a little bit. But Michael Jordan's home road splits were pretty significant, to the point where it's like he was averaging 4 steals a game at home, 2 blocks at home, and on the road it was 2 steals and a block in that season. So it said, put simply, Jordan steals and blocks nearly doubled at home compared to the road. Wow. And they provide these video examples. There was one time where Michael was credited with, or the Bulls were credited with more steals than the other team was credited with turnovers
in a game. Yeah, one game Jordan had more steals than the other team had turnovers. I don't know.
This is hack journalism. That's what this is. This is absolutely hack journalism. This is message board fodder, because is this
you're not buying it?
No, is this loser? Like, I'm buying it, may be a reality, but is this loser gonna go deep dive every one of these types of home road splits for his video? I'm sure it exists pretty much everywhere in existence. And by the way, the whole idea of that this would somehow mean that LeBron is chasing a ghost, as if we didn't all see Michael Jordan play, and the only reason why we think Michael Jordan is the greatest is because of, like, box score keeping. That's the only reason why we hold. It's not. In fact, it's not stats. That's not why we hold LeBron up against Jordan in a certain way. This is a desperate attempt to hawk to a LeBron's legacy and just dump all over. This is Gen Z behavior, and I'm not here for it.
What was your comment that was going to incite Roberto?
I just said, like, if this is true, right? If this is true, it's probably not a lie. It's not a lie. Like, if he didn't commit these steals, then how is that, like,
fair?
Fair.
That's not, no, that, what he said was,
if they really fudged the steals, that's some bush league.
So someone went back and watched all the games?
Yeah, so this guy went back and watched all the game cast. And, well, here's what happened. An NBA stat keeper blew the whistle on him.
On the general, like,
so he's the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club in Texas.
Well,
and he was a top executive for the Sixers in 2020. Before that, he was a stat keeper for the Grizzlies and an employee during their 95-96 season. In February, he said he was among a number of home scorekeepers in the 90s who selectively juiced the numbers for their players. And this was in an interview of Pablo Torre Finds Out. He explained that in his view, inflating certain box score stats for the home team was a common league-wide practice. So, you know, he talks about
common practice.
Look, I mean,
that's my point. It's not like there was some better. And again, we don't hold Jordan up to a standard because of a box score. We hold Jordan up to a certain standard because of people always say, "Jordan, you didn't see him. But you have to see him to understand."
So, in that year, he was the first player ever to have 200 steals and 100 blocks, and he was the first player ever, I think, the only player ever to win the scoring title and Defensive Player of the Year award. So that's a very consequential season and award,
right?
And if it's fudged, then
let's take it away. Let's take it away. Let's say he just has two steals, one block. It doesn't change my opinion on Michael Jordan, LeBron. To call Jordan's legacy a ghost because you think his Defensive Player of the Year numbers were juiced means you're a clown.
Agreed.
Yeah, so what they say is...
That would not change your mind on Mike LeBron either.
No, it wouldn't.
But it's kind of like us judging Will. If we found out that some of the blocks or the double-doubles or Russells...
If we found out that Wilt never scored 100 points in that game...
Well, it still doesn't take away 50 and 20.
No, it doesn't. But, like, if we find out that he really only scored, like, 91, okay, it's still the highest scoring game ever, but it's not 100. And then, you know, the Rucker guy does explain that, in his experience, subjective stats. So if a player tried to block a shot and the ball fell short, give him the benefit of the doubt on a 50-50 play. And give him the block if you're home.
Bobby's going to return fire to try to hurt Choppy next.
What?
Has the downfall of Choppy's beloved football source and site finally arrive? Bobby tries to break RJ's heart like Ryan broke ours. Next. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
RJ Choppy's prep email is about to include a whole lot more bro Bible because PFF might be going away, ladies and gents. It's maybe a little bit of an exaggeration. It may sort of just be a wish of mine rather than anything that has to do with the reality. But they are in a little bit of turmoil right now. And I'm largely kidding when I say I want it to go away. Because here's the thing. I really love a few different people at PFF. John Owning is incredibly brilliant, genuinely good person. He supports us over here very, very publicly. When all that stuff was going on with the DAC attorney, I remember he had quote tweeted somebody and John said, "People at that station have been very kind to me throughout my career. I'm not going to tolerate any fan slander. And so I'm not taking part."
He should work for DallasCowboys.com then. Carry over some of that attitude over there.
Trevor Sakema is very good over there. Eric Eager was always really cool to talk to at Super Bowl the last couple years.
I like Moo.
He got an NFL job recently, by the way. Did y'all see that? Eric Eager, the guy we interviewed over who had done Sumer Sports
with Thomas Dimitroff.
Yeah, he ended up getting hired. I can't remember where he went. He went over to the Lions, I believe. But there's people over there that I really like. And so I don't actually want to see them fall apart because their friends are there. But, man, there's an executive or was an executive over at PFF who seemed like he sort of reflected a lot of the issues that exist with PFF and the way that he operated. So this guy's name is George Shahuri. George Shahuri. And he was fired earlier this year as one of the top execs from Pro Football Focus. This was exposed in a front office sports piece from AJ Perez, where he talks about all the different profile stuff, the good stuff that's working for PFF, but it also talks about a lot of the challenges. So those include all these advances in the machine learning and the GPS data and some of the NFL next-gen stats stuff are fueling competitors and may get them closer to PFF's manual charting focus. It also discusses the high-level people who have left over the last 2 years, including Eric Eager, Jeff Lane, Rick Drummond, Brad Spielberger. But the most notable thing that came out of here is that the company's former general manager, George Shahuri, was fired earlier this year, and they didn't publicly discuss it at all. It was something where it's like, look, Pro Football Focus is a pretty big company. For you to fire one of your top execs and it doesn't get out for 4 months seems a little suspicious. From the AJ Perez article, it says Shahuri's two-year tenure was a complete disaster. The year since 2022 have seen an exodus of talent, and the private equity war chest is nearly spent with little but a new iPhone app to show for it. Shahuri was quietly fired earlier this year, a move that seemingly came out of the blue, but one that was a relief to many of those who worked under him. One PFF staffer said it was long overdue. Multiple former PFF employees said that the exodus largely stemmed from Shahuri's mismanagement. They said George was incredible at convincing people like Chris Collinsworth that he could help make them a billion-dollar company. He was next-level terrible at managing people below him. So PFF has a little bit of management turmoil, Next Gen Stats, some of these free websites, and some of the different data that's come out there. It's like, why do we need your grades or your other things? Like, we can sort of track all this stuff now without any of our PFF subscriptions, and people already don't love their grades. But this sounds like, you know, what's inherently wrong with the PFF structure to begin with. Massive ego and self-importance with absolutely zero awareness of the blind spots.
Because I thought this was just supposed to be like numbers. That was my first initial attraction to it, of your judgment,
advanced,
and your
stats.
Opinion. It's all taken out.
PFF people loved it early on because they had a team that would work on collecting stats that nobody else had. And so you could get these unique stats of, you know, specific statistics of like, how good is this corner at stopping slant routes? How good is this corner at this route? Like, all these different things that you can tally, you know, when this receiver's targeted, where it is. Like, they did all that sort of data, and then they threw in the grades, and nobody really cared for the grades. Well, they years ago took a lot of their premium stats and they removed them from even being available for subscription services because they wanted to be only supply them to NFL teams. And when new management came in and kind of changed the direction and they started catering to NFL teams, all they really offered the public anymore was some decent stats, but not all the previous advanced stats. And they really went hard on their grades, which a lot of people went, I don't care how you thought they played. I don't care. And that's where they've run into some tension, is also because NFL teams have a tendency to use PFF grades when it helps them in negotiations with people. And people are like, I don't care, because if this grade was great and I tried to use it against you, you'd tell me no. And so it's become a sticking issue between players and teams in negotiations too. So a little bit of tension going on in Pro Football Focus.
I don't understand the hate for them. If you don't like their grades, don't use their grades.
I think it's some of the personalities. Like, what the hell is that? Sam Monson. Sorry, yeah. Not Lindsay Lohan.
Okay. But I mean, is the argument that generally analytic folks are smarmy and like they take on the personality of Keith Law? Yeah, that's true. Analytic folk on Twitter do come across as, I'm smarter than you.
Well, to
that's
me, it's
the reality.
Can it be trusted, and is your process accurate? That's all I care about.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a baseline. It's not got like their numbers are just a baseline. Like, it just gives you a way to compare other players. If one player is graded as an 82, and you're comparing him against another player graded as an 82, but an NFL team might grade him as an 87, who cares, right? It's like, it's a baseline.
Yeah, but the problem is, again, like, players feel tension with front offices over it because teams start trying to throw it at people when it benefits them. And it's like, so to them, it's like, this is, and the issue is that whenever anybody challenges or says, how do you come up with this? They get very defiant. They push back. They get incredibly sassy about like anybody saying, how do you come up with that? And whenever you mention to them, hey, you know, inherently, like NFL players tell you, you can't know people's assignments on every play. So you're kind of guessing if they even did their job correctly. Then they continue to just kind of dismiss that and puff out their chest. It's a little bit of the arrogance that some of the personalities over there have. Again, not all of them. I love a couple individuals over there who I think are great. But there's a...
I get how agents would hate it. I don't care about agents. You know, I don't have any relationships with any agents.
But when you come on here on a Monday and say he got an 82, what does that mean? Other than you're just saying they liked him. What gives me any standing to say that they know what they're talking about? That it's proof that he played well.
It's the same that anybody would ask, what do they know? They're on the radio.
But again, like
they have a science they use, a training.
Okay, so if I said
a format, it's the same thing.
If somebody said, I would totally understand that. Except we usually come back and go, here's facts. Here's the thing. These are the things that we saw. PFF doesn't do that. If I came on here the Monday after a Cowboys game and you guys would say, Bobby, what did you think about the way Dak Prescott played yesterday? It's like he had a 90 passing grade. I gave him a 90 passing grade. Why? Well, I mean, look, it's a proprietary formula. I'm not going to tell you why I gave him a 90 passing grade, but that's what he was. He was great yesterday, and you just need to trust me. It doesn't matter that he threw three interceptions.
It's
it was
not
a 90.
Quite that. It's like, you know, if you look at their grades historically, if you look at the previous season's grades, generally that person has, you know, they play well the following week, year, whatever. I mean, it happens. It's not like, it's not flawless, and I don't think they've ever said it's flawless, but they don't. Nobody gives their. How do you figure out what? How do you do? We know the methodology on QBR from certain places?
You know, we know factors. They don't necessarily tell right. you the values they give everything, but you do know factors.
But we still use it, right?
We know general formula factors. Even if they don't tell us how they calculate it, they do tell you what it takes into account. And so to me, there's a difference there. The Philadelphia Eagles are in search of new team doctors. And this is something that I think is going to become more common over future years, because we've talked about this. Team doctors inherently are faced with, you know, there's a difference between representing the interests of a team and representing the interests of, you know, the Hippocratic Oath or whatever. You know, there are like, you're meant to get players ready to get them on the field.
Varsity Blues.
The Eagles are looking for new team physicians. A malpractice suit.
Awesome. Big Dom do it.
Slap
some gabagool on there.
So a former linebacker, their former special teams captain, Christopher Maragos.
I think you can get gabagool.
I think you get good gabagool.
What is it?
It's capicola.
What is that?
It's a salted cured meat.
You're the PFF of cold cuts.
Yeah.
Salted cured meat. Generic terms at
it's
me.
It's got a little fat ring in the middle of it. Yeah.
So Rothman Orthopedic Institute ended its decades-long run as the official team physicians for the Eagles, citing the risk being found liable again in another large medical malpractice verdict like the one that was awarded last year, $43.5 million to former special teams captain Christopher Maragos. Now, they were liable for $14 million of that. There were a couple of different people who were involved in the medical malpractice, but it was from a 2017 knee injury that the surgery got screwed up and he never played again, won this lawsuit. And the Rothman president gave a statement on Friday, said that can never happen again, said we can't have this liability facing us. So it's interesting to me because obviously it's a financial / legal decision, but it's fascinating that a medical practice would determine that working with an NFL team and working with their players, doing the job they ask them to do, carries too high of a risk inherently for them in malpractice suits or liability or other things, that they naturally think working with NFL players is too high risk for them. That is something that if more places start doing that, there's already been concussion questions and some of the other things, how does that start impacting discussions about, well, how safe is all of this? How safe is it if entire medical institutions say we won't even align ourselves with an NFL team to work on their players?
How many are really going to do that, though?
I mean,
I'm sure some of these physicians view it as like some of these donors that's like you get a fan rush out of it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The prestige. You walk into their offices and all the players have signed the pictures and everything like that. I don't think people are going to run away from working with teams.
But if more players in the future start suing over concussions or other, and they start getting held liable, then you will see, this is Rothman just saying, this is our experience, we're getting out of this because we can't have liabilities like this in the future.
Does the team not get sued versus the individual practice or physician?
It does not specify if the Eagles were part of the lawsuit that was taking place, but it does say that only $14 million of it was Rothman responsible for. So it's a group of things where it was negligence with the actual surgery. So I don't know how much the Eagles would have been held liable for that.
Your dad would know. Isn't malpractice insurance just insane? Like, you got to have it.
Massive
cost.
This is something where they've been with the Eagles for 30 years, and they've just said, nope, we can't have liabilities like this in the future.
Below the belt every day at this time on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. How can we go and find our own Boston Celtics for the Mavs to win the championship? That kicks off the final hour of the week with Sean and RJ next. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
RJ Choppy's prep email is about to include a whole lot more bro Bible because PFF might be going away, ladies and gents. It's maybe a little bit of an exaggeration. It may sort of just be a wish of mine rather than anything that has to do with the reality. But they are in a little bit of turmoil right now. And I'm largely kidding when I say I want it to go away. Because here's the thing. I really love a few different people at PFF. John Owning is incredibly brilliant, genuinely good person. He supports us over here very, very publicly. When all that stuff was going on with the DAC attorney, I remember he had quote tweeted somebody and John said,
people at that station have been very kind to me throughout my career. I'm not going to tolerate any fan slander. And so I'm not taking part.
Oh, he should work for DallasCowboys.com then. Carry over some of that attitude over there.
Trevor Sikema is very good over there. Eric Eager was always really cool to talk to at Super Bowl the last couple of years.
I just like Moo.
He got an NFL job recently, by the way. Did y'all see that? Eric Eager, the guy we interviewed over who had done Sumer Sports
with Thomas Dimitroff.
Yeah, he ended up getting hired. I can't remember where he went. He went over to the Lions, I believe. But there's people over there that I really like. And so I don't actually want to see them fall apart because they're friends over there. But, man, there's an executive or was an executive over at PFF who seemed like he sort of reflected a lot of the issues that exist with PFF in the way that he operated. So this guy's name is George Shahuri. George Shahuri. And he was fired earlier this year as one of the top execs from Pro Football Focus. This was exposed in a front office sports piece from AJ Perez, where he talks about all the different profile stuff, the good stuff that's working for PFF, but it also talks about a lot of the challenges. So those include all these advances in the machine learning and the GPS data and some of the NFL Next Gen Stats stuff are fueling competitors and may get them closer to PFF's manual charting focus. It also discusses the high-level people who have left over the last 2 years, including Eric Eager, Jeff Lane, Rick Drummond, Brad Spielberger. But the most notable thing that came out of here is that the company's former general manager, George Shahuri, was fired earlier this year, and they didn't publicly discuss it at all. It was something where it's like, look, Pro Football Focus is a pretty big company. For you to fire one of your top execs and it doesn't get out for 4 months seems a little suspicious. From the AJ Perez article, it says Shahuri's two-year tenure was a complete disaster. The year since 2022 have seen an exodus of talent, and the private equity war chest is nearly spent with little but a new iPhone app to show for it. Shahuri was quietly fired earlier this year, a move that seemingly came out of the blue, but one that was a relief to many of those who worked under him. One PFF staffer said it was long overdue. Multiple former PFF employees said that the exodus largely stemmed from Shahuri's mismanagement. They said George was incredible at convincing people like Chris Collinsworth that he could help make them a billion-dollar company. He was next-level terrible at managing people below him. So PFF has a little bit of management turmoil, next-gen stats, some of these free websites, and some of the different data that's come out there. It's like, why do we need your grades or your other things? Like, we can sort of track all this stuff now without any of our PFF subscriptions, and people already don't love their grades, but this sounds like, you know, what's inherently wrong with the PFF structure to begin with. Massive ego and self-importance with absolutely zero awareness of the blind spots.
Because I thought this was just supposed to be, like, numbers. That was my first initial attraction to it, of your judgment,
advanced
and your
stats.
Opinion, it's all taken out.
PFF people loved it early on because they had a team that would work on collecting stats that nobody else had. And so you could get these unique stats of, you know, specific statistics of, like, how good is this corner at stopping slant routes? How good is this corner at this route? Like, all these different things that you can tally, you know, when this receiver's targeted, where it is. Like, they did all that sort of data. And then they threw in the grades, and nobody really cared for the grades. Well, they, years ago, took a lot of their premium stats, and they removed them from even being available for subscription services because they wanted to be only supply them to NFL teams. And when new management came in and kind of changed the direction and they started catering to NFL teams, all they really offered the public anymore was some decent stats, but not all the previous advanced stats. And they really went hard on their grades, which a lot of people went, I don't care how you thought they played. I don't care. And that's where they've run into some tension, is also because NFL teams have a tendency to use PFF grades when it helps them in negotiations with people. And people are like, I don't care, because if this grade was great and I tried to use it against you, you'd tell me no. And so it's become a sticking issue between players and teams in negotiations, too. So a little bit of tension going on in Pro Football Focus.
I don't understand the hate for them. If you don't like their grades, don't use their grades.
I think it's some of the personalities. Like, what the hell is that? Sam Monson. Sorry, yeah. Not Lindsay Lohan.
Okay. But I mean, is the argument that generally analytic folks are smarmy and, like, they take on the personality of Keith Law? Yeah, that's true. Analytic folk on Twitter do come across as, I'm smarter than you.
Well, to me, it's the reality. Can it be trusted, and is your process accurate? That's all I care about.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a baseline. It's not their numbers are just a baseline. Like, it just gives you a way to compare other players. If one player is graded as an 82 and you're comparing him against another player graded as an 82, but an NFL team might grade him as an 87, who cares, right? It's like, it's a baseline.
Yeah, but the problem is, again, like, players feel tension with front offices over it because teams start trying to throw it at people when it benefits them. And it's like, so to them, it's like, this is, and the issue is that whenever anybody challenges or says, how do you come up with this? They get very defiant. They push back. They get incredibly sassy about, like, anybody saying, how do you come up with that? And whenever you mention to them, hey, you know, inherently, like NFL players tell you, you can't know people's assignments on every play. So you're kind of guessing if they even did their job correctly. Then they continue to just kind of dismiss that and puff out their chest. It's a little bit of the arrogance that some of the personalities over there have. Again, not all of them. I love a couple individuals over there who I think are great. But there's a...
I get how agents would hate it. I don't care about agents. You know, I don't have any relationships with any agents.
But when you come on here on a Monday and say he got an 82, what does that mean? Other than you're just saying they liked him. What gives me any standing to say that they know what they're talking about? That it's proof that he played well.
It's the same that anybody would ask, what do they know? They're on the radio.
But again,
they have a science they use, a training.
Okay, so if I said
a format, I mean, it's the same thing. No,
if somebody problem. Said, I would totally understand that. Except we usually come back and go, here's facts. Here's the thing. These are the things that we saw. PFF doesn't do that. If I came on here the Monday after a Cowboys game and you guys would say, Bobby, what did you think about the way Dak Prescott played yesterday? It's like he had a 90 passing grade. I gave him a 90 passing grade. Why? Well, I mean, look, it's a proprietary formula. I'm not going to tell you why I gave him a 90 passing grade, but that's what he was. He was great yesterday, and you just need to trust me. It doesn't matter that he threw three interceptions.
It's
it was a 90.
Not quite that. It's like, you know, if you look at their grades historically, if you look at the previous season's grades, generally that person has, you know, they play well the following week, year, whatever. I mean, it happens. It's not like, it's not flawless, and I don't think they've ever said it's flawless, but they don't. Nobody gives their. How do you figure out what? How do you do we know the methodology on QBR from certain places?
You know, we know factors. They don't necessarily tell you the values they give everything, but you do know factors.
But we still use it, right?
We know general formula factors. Even if they don't tell us how they calculate it, they do tell you what it takes into account. And so, to me, there's a difference there. The Philadelphia Eagles are in search of new team doctors. And this is something that I think is going to become more common over future years, because we've talked about this. Team doctors inherently are faced with, you know, there's a difference between representing the interests of a team and representing the interests of, you know, the Hippocratic Oath or whatever. You know, there are like, you're meant to get players ready to get them on the field.
Varsity Blues.
The Eagles are looking for new team physicians. A malpractice suit.
Awesome, Big Dom do it. Slap
he
some,
can do everything else.
Slap some gabagool on there.
So a former linebacker, their former special teams captain, Christopher Maragos.
I think you can get gabagool.
I think you get good gabagool.
What is it?
It's capicola.
What is that?
Just salted cured meat.
You're the PFF of cold cuts.
Yeah,
salted
cured
throwing
meat.
Throwing generic terms at
it's
me.
It's got a little fat ring in the middle of it.
Yeah. So Rothman Orthopedic Institute ended its decades-long run as the official team physicians for the Eagles, citing the risk being found liable again in another large medical malpractice verdict, like the one that was awarded last year, $43.5 million to former special teams captain Christopher Maragos. Now, they were liable for $14 million of that. There were a couple of different people who were involved in the medical malpractice, but it was from a 2017 knee injury that the surgery got screwed up and he never played again, won this lawsuit. And the Rothman president gave a statement on Friday, said that can never happen again, said we can't have this liability facing us. So it's interesting to me because obviously it's a financial / legal decision, but it's fascinating that a medical practice would determine that working with an NFL team and working with their players, doing the job they ask them to do, carries too high of a risk inherently for them in malpractice suits or liability or other things, that they naturally think working with NFL players is too high risk for them. That is something that if more places start doing that, there's already been concussion questions and some of the other things. how does that start impacting discussions about, well, how safe is all of this? How safe is it is if entire medical institutions say we won't even align ourselves with an NFL team to work on their players?
How many are really going to do that, though?
I mean, if...
I'm sure some of these physicians view it as like some of these donors that's like you get a fan rush out of it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The prestige. You walk into their offices and all the players have signed the pictures and everything like that. I don't think people are going to run away from working with teams.
But if more players in the future start suing over concussions or other, and they start getting held liable, then you will see, this is Rothman just saying, this is our experience. We're getting out of this because we can't have liabilities like this.
Does the team not get sued versus the individual practice or physician?
It does not specify if the Eagles were part of the lawsuit that was taking place, but it does say that only $14 million of it was Rothman responsible for. So it's a group of things where it was negligence with the actual surgery. So I don't know how much the Eagles would have been held liable for that.
Your dad would know. Isn't malpractice insurance just insane? Like, you got to have it.
Massive
cost.
This is something where they've been with the Eagles for 30 years, and they've just said, nope, we can't have liabilities like this in the future.
Below the belt, every day at this time on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, how can we go and find our own Boston Celtics for the Mavs to win the championship? That kicks off the final hour of the week with Sean and RJ next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.